I have the pleasure to introduce our first speaker today. And the first time I met this gentleman was in 1990. So it's been a while. And I was not anything even looking for the church, but I was at Bible study on a Wednesday. Gentleman comes in, gets to do a lesson. The first time I got to meet him, it was really exciting because I was learning about more about the Bible. And very next week, he decided, not by accident, totally, I'm sure, but he had his son come with him from Bozeman. So about the same age as I am. So total mistake, but you guys all understand how Jay works. Everything that he does is purposeful. Did you bring Luke on purpose? Yes. And I can tell you it's been a huge benefit to me to have someone looking out for me even when I wasn't interested in the scriptures. Because even when I traveled to Butte, when I was traveling, someone would swing in to the motel where I was staying just to see if I was there so I could go to the Stones' house to have Bible study. And I was not interested in the truth at that time. But someone was always working, so much appreciation for what Jay has done throughout the years. So, like I say, how many of you were actually born in 1990? Yeah, see? So, it's a huge benefit. So, bring Jay up with a hand.
Give it to Kevin Simpson. Yeah. Well, I am excited to be here, and you won't be able to see my eyes. You know, I think I mentioned, but a couple years ago, I had my eyelids hanging over my pupils, and they're blocking about 30% of my sight. So I had an operation done to lift that up. And then about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, something like that, maybe a year and a half, I forget, I had a cataract lens surgery in both eyes. And that allows more light in, and the result is the guy who always prided himself on not being light sensitive is very light sensitive. And so God has ways of humbling everybody, you know, pride of man. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thess chapter 2. Whoever was in charge of lining up the speakers gave me just one part of a verse, okay? And that one part of a verse is 2 Thess 2:10, which says, "With all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because..." Oops, I almost went too far. I went beyond the assignment. Okay. Deception of wickedness. Now, we know that Satan is the deceiver. And, you know, deceiver is his name and deception is his game. And Mark touched on a few of those things this morning, but I wanted to kind of build on the foundation that Mark laid. So, a couple weeks ago, we had the hottest day. The Earth hit the hottest temperatures on average, on record, ever. Hottest temperature. Yeah. And, of course, it's a major emergency, and the United Nations has climbed in and said, you know, we got to do something. You know, Earth has a really bad headache, and we need to get its temperature down. You know, I mean, that's the line. Now, one of the things that they don't tell you is in the United States, beginning about 2012, they decided to incorporate the temperatures from all the temperature sensing stations that are in what are known as urban heat zones. Okay? So those temperatures are deliberately, and there's about, I think, somewhere around 75% of the temperature gauges are in those urban heat zone. So what do you think that's going to do to some average temperatures? They don't tell you that. See, why don't they tell you that? It's deception. A lot of deception going on at a lot of different levels, and it's important deception. In 1963, a bunch of guys got together, you know, big guys, got together at Iron Mountain Resort in Iron Mountain, New York. And they were anticipating the end of the Soviet Union. See, now this is 20-plus years before the Soviet Union supposedly went away. So they were anticipating the end of the Soviet Union and therefore the end of the Cold War. And so you have to have things like a Cold War because you got to continue to have some sort of emergency in order to impose restrictions or get people to give up freedoms that they wouldn't otherwise give up. So that was the purpose of this report from Iron Mountain, was to come up with an alternative to the Cold War as a means of getting particularly the American public, but with a global perspective, to give up even more of their freedoms. And finally, what they came up with was environment and climate change. See? And so the propaganda mills started to roll beginning from that point on. Some of us are old enough to remember where they were first anticipating an ice age. Anybody? Yeah. And within about 3 months, the same guys that were promoting an ice age were now promoting global warming, which has a lot more to do with federal dollars and grantsmanship than it does to have to do with any facts. But the point is, see, the propaganda organs begin to go to work and in every aspect possible to eventually create in the public mind the idea that there really is global warming and that we have to do something about it. We have to quit using coal. We have to quit using fossil fuels. And we have to go to that non-environmentally polluting stuff called lithium, the battery-powered stuff, right? It's all charades. It's all lies. Deception. But deception with a hammer. See, there's a hammer behind it. And the goal, of course, is eventually to separate the American public from their private vehicles. Because it's the private vehicle that gives you the freedom and the flexibility to move around. See, if you can all be forced into mass transit, then you can be much more easily controlled. I remember we were in Belarus, Charlie Jacobs and Matt Wilson and I, in March, so Steve Doty was there, and we were headed to the place where the assembly was going to meet, and we were on this bus, and all of a sudden the guy said something in Russian or Belarusian, and everybody got off. Now, we just keep gabbing because we don't understand anything. Now, the bus driver says something in Russian, which we don't know what the words were, but it was really clear, get off the bus, okay? We got off the bus, and not too long after that, we found another one with the same number. Got on it. It went a couple blocks, and all of a sudden it stops, and everybody's ordered off the bus as well. Now, we're 4 miles from the meeting place in March in fairly cold and snowy. Now we're having to hoof it to the 4 miles to the meeting place. And, of course, hardly anybody came that night because the whole transportation system shut down for who knows what reason. See, when you lose your private automobile status, you lose a lot of freedom. And that's what that's all. It's deception. Deception. A lot of deception in what we might call the political arena. The people marching in the street are Marxist. Now, you're not really allowed to know that they're Marxist. They're Black Lives Matter or some other name, but they're Marxist. And they are carrying out the stages of a Marxist revolution. Marxist revolution, the first thing you do is you find an issue on which to divide the public. An issue that you would have never dreamed up in your lifetime are trans rights, right? Trans versus cis. Those are organic chemistry terms, you would have never dreamed that you'd have issues like that to divide the public. See, we find those issues to divide the public. See, and then they go to work and create the appearance of popular support. Now, you think the vast bulk of the American public is in favor of trans rights, right? No, they're not. But that's the appearance, see, the appearance of popular support. Then you go to the next step, and what you do is you neutralize the opposition. Sometimes you neutralize them by cutting their tongue out. Sometimes you do it by censoring them. And sometimes you do it by name-calling and intimidation. See, and you already see that happening on all these issues. Then the fourth stage is where you have peaceful demonstrations, okay? As Martin Luther King Jr. said on his march in St. Augustine and back in the 1960s, he said, "We intend to use all the nonviolent weapons at our disposal." Okay? Nonviolent weapons. What is that? That means we are going to try to precipitate opposition. When we have our civil rights parades, when we have our gay rights parades, what we want is we want violence to erupt. See, what we want is martyrs. Because we then can get on the drums and say, this person shall not have died in vain. See, and so those things are preliminary. And the final stage then is the full-blown revolution, where you have detachments of the Revolutionary Army in the streets. Now, we're not there yet. We're working on stage 3 and 4. But that's where they're going, on a multiplicity of levels. The United States is itself a very difficult country to work things in. Number one, the United States has by far the greatest biblical base of any country in the world, by far. And so that's, you know, because there are enough people that believe enough about the Bible to know that there is such a thing as sin and righteousness. And, you know, homosexuality, lesbianism are sins. You know, you would have to call this transition stuff. If God made you a male, you ought to just follow through, right? And if God made somebody, not here, a female, then she should just follow through. Notice the pronoun I used, she. I mean, that's revolutionary words right there. See, the whole issue, again, is to create the division and set the stage. And, of course, part of that agenda, see, is to overthrow the scriptures. When you have a country like the United States has had that biblical base, then you have to go to work to destroy that biblical base. And the goal is for the Bible to topple just as surely as a Confederate general's statues topple. That's a goal. So some people say, well, I'm not interested in that. I'm just interested in Bible. Well, do you like having one? Okay. Do you appreciate the fact that the Bible can still be preached publicly? See, these are wars, but they're based on deception, the deception of wickedness, and the language that is used is deliberately deceiving language. Okay. Just looking around. Yep. I see, to my shame, I see a lot of white privilege here tonight. Oh, white privilege. I mean, how many of you guys can read and write? Well, that's because you're white. Bob's a little shaky. I don't know if it's he can't read or probably can't write. But see, what is that? See, that's just language designed to sow division in the masses and to create further discord, anarchy. Mark referenced Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. See, that all that is designed to create the division and the ruckus and the chaos so that eventually the guys bringing tyranny can ride in to victory. That's what it's all about. But it rides on deception. And it's, of course, massive deception. You know, it starts in the White House as far as the visible political entities in the U.S. are concerned. And works its way through Congress and the court system, and of course through the media, and for the guys that own the media, and for the guys that own Congress, and for the guys that own the president. Okay, that is major deception on a massive scale, with an end in mind. Somebody asked one of the revolutionaries. They said, "Well, look, you said this yesterday, but today you say the opposite." He said, "So?" The guy said, "Well, those are opposites." He says, "It's not about opposites. It's about the revolution. See, it's about the revolution. Whatever fits the revolution, that's what it is. Deception and wickedness, it's on a massive scale. On a massive scale. So we have those things going on in there. Now, the thing is they impact people we're trying to work with, and they impact brethren. See, there are people you're working with that have come to believe that the Bible is an attempt by white slave masters to impose their religion on slaves. Okay, that's what it was, white privilege, right? You got all that stuff going on, see, and people believe it. They have no other source. Preacher in Church of Christ in Manitoba that I've had some email communication with, and recently on one of the Bozeman Lord's Day morning Q&A sessions, I guess that's what they've come to be called, is I answered some questions about republics and democracies. Of course, Israel was the first republic. It was ruled by law. And by the way, you didn't have activist judges on the bench. God was not allowing activist judges to change that, okay? And another major republic is Rome. And a smaller republic that came along was Switzerland. And then the last republic to come along of any major size is the United States. And each of those four republics has played a major part in the forward movement of the distribution of God's word. Israel, of course, is obvious. Switzerland had enough freedom that when the Greek manuscripts came west, that they could be collected and translated into the Greek New Testament, or could be published as the Greek New Testament, setting the stage for the translation of the Bible into the language of the common people. The Bible that the pilgrims brought to the United States, or what would become the United States in 1621, was the Geneva Bible. Now, the King James had already been, translated and printed, but it wasn't very popular yet. Now, it was called the Geneva Bible because it had to be printed in Geneva, Switzerland. See, which was where enough freedom was. And then, of course, eventually the United States became free and allowed the restoration of the church. So, the United States is a republic. It was supposed to be a republic, and it guarantees to each state a republic as a form of government. And Mr. Matt Wilson and I were down to the notary here a while ago. We had to get some papers signed and stamped and all that stuff. And so she's there, and I called her the notary of the republic. I heard that from somebody, and thought that was pretty clever. And she didn't know what I was talking about. And I said, "Did you know that the Bill of Rights guarantees to each state a republic as a form of government?" She says, who cares? That's the problem, isn't it? So I was talking a little bit about republics and how democracy is majority rule. Call it mob rule. The greatest example of democracy is a lynch mob. 12 guys want the guy hung, and one guy doesn't want to get hung, and so the vote's 12-1. And the lynching takes place. That's democracy in action. Okay, people that are rational don't want, if they process it, they don't want democracy. So we're being told, we're being hammered that we're a democracy, and we got to get to democracy, and our democracy is being threatened. What they're doing, see, is they're engaging in another Marxist classic word shift to where democracy actually means, in their terminology, Saul Alinsky style, democracy actually means what the majority wants. Now, the majority doesn't know it, but what the majority wants is socialism. See, the majority doesn't know that, but that's what they want. See, these guys claim to speak for the majority. And so when they talk about January 6th threatening democracy, see, what they're talking about, or anything threatening democracy, what they're talking about is anything that threatens the continued move toward their Marxist socialistic state. So you have to understand how they redefine terms and use them. What's the name for that? Well, it's deception. See, Mark brought out that Satan is a liar and he's the father of lies. So who's originating these lies? See, it's Satan. And the war, see, it's part of the long war against the church. You know, when they talked about getting the homosexual agenda through, they called it the long march through the institutions. See, and that's what that long march means. We've got a definite plan and we're working on it. We're getting there. Deception, major scale. And it impacts every single one of us in a major way. Now, I'm not talking about the solution tonight. My job is to talk about the problem. You know, I realized that my message was going to be all about evil, and I realized I was the only one qualified to talk about evil that much. So that I took it on myself. And that's, you know, you guys saw the black hood pop up last night in the wind, and that was just to set the stage for talking about evil tonight. But I would like to have Aldrin Duart come on down. And if I could have I know somebody's got the mic. I'll get it. No. So Aldrin Duart is from India. Okay, and he grew up in the faith, and he's in currently. Come on over here, Aldrin. And he's a great guy. You know, got to have lunch with him a couple years ago at family camp. And is that on?
I think so.
Yeah. So is okay. Good. Yeah. So Aldrin, you're from India, right?
Yeah.
And what big city area?
Mumbai.
Mumbai. Yeah. Okay, that used to be called Bombay. And so you're pretty familiar with Indian culture, and
yeah, I'd say so.
Do you speak Hindi at all? Or?
Yes, I speak some Hindi, yeah.
Okay. Is there any other languages you speak?
I understand my state language, which is Marathi, and I understand another state language as well, yeah.
Yeah, so India's got a lot of languages, okay. So if you were to say, what's the major religion of India?
Hinduism,
okay. So if you were to be going down the street in India and see somebody in a yoga pose, what would that register with you?
That they're Hindu?
Hindu.
Firstly, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are the words connected with yoga, Hindu?
Yeah, they are. Especially the word Om, O-M, or A-U-M, you know. When you hear a yoga instructor make you say the word Om as you exhale, that word has its roots embedded in Hinduism.
Is that a Hindu god or something like that?
I'm not too sure about that, whether Om in itself, like the word by itself, is a Hindu god, but I think what it means is a mixture of your body, mind, and your spirit, and all in dedication to perhaps all of the Hindu gods.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so when you see them going through the emotions in yoga, different positions mean anything to you when you see it?
Do they mean anything to me? No, because, you know, like, I didn't quite grow up Hindu. So, but at the same time, my mom would always make sure that I, you know, did not practice yoga because she knew of its roots and all of that. And many of the yoga poses also have their roots, or they're even named after Hindu gods.
Yeah. Okay. Give him a hand. Thank you, Aldrin. Appreciate that. Get that back to Kevin. Right? So, what do you suppose Aldrin thinks when he sees a bunch of American ladies in yoga poses? Yeah. See, but it's deception, isn't it? It's deception. It's a thing about God. God is up front. Okay. Here is Jesus Christ. This is who he is. Died on the cross, buried, raised the third day, appeared to witnesses over 40 days, ascended to glory. The base for that all set in the Old Testament. The apostles are able to bear witness, eyewitness accounts themselves, and then by attesting miracles backed by those Old Testament scriptures. Fact. Okay, you want to follow Jesus Christ, it's going to cost you your life. He who loves his life loses it. He who saves his life, he who keeps his life, never mind. He who loses his life will save it. Okay, up front. You want to be my disciple? Get in the boat. But my mom and dad, get in the boat. You want to be my disciple? You're coming. Okay? You want to be my disciple? You're going to confess publicly that you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you're never going to deny that. See, up front. Okay? Now, the devil engages in deception. See, the deception and wickedness. See, and Hinduism is a great example of that. The Swamis, when they came to America in the 1920s, they had a definite agenda of bringing Hinduism in. Okay? See, and so you got to ask yourself a question. How many of your wives participate in yoga? Deception. See, there's other things a person can do other than yoga, to get the appropriate stretch. I've tried to work the ear muscles in my ears just a little bit, but I don't know, they died out in the previous evolutionary step. But, all this stuff, see, deception. What's this mean? Anybody here tell me what that means? I guess I got to do that. Yeah. What is it? When somebody does that, do you know? Anybody?
Meditation.
What kind of meditation?
Transcendental.
What's that?
Transcendental.
Well, not exactly. Anybody? Buddhist meditation. See? And if you look, I don't know, TV ads or magazine covers or anything, Bed Bath & Beyond, the woke company that's just going out of business. That's what happens to woke companies. But, I remember one of their magazines, Katie. If Katie didn't live with me and get magazines and catalogs, I wouldn't get any mail except a couple bills. But it's nice Katie lives with me, so we get mail. But Bed Bath & Beyond catalog came in, and here's a woman doing the Buddhist meditation pose in the background. Now, do you ever see anybody praying to God anymore? You ever see the guy bending over the bowl of soup in prayer? Do you ever see that anymore? Not hardly. See what's going on? Deception. And the reason I'm trying to bring it up this way is to show how easily it is to get sucked in on something that you don't know anything about. Even trying to be a good biblical Christian. Some people have tried to tell me, well, I do Christian yoga. So, bring me one of them blankets over here and let's do a Christian prayer to Mecca, to Allah. Let's see if we can do that. It's going to be a Christian prayer because we're going to put the Christian name Christian in. Did I make it Christian? See, this stuff is going on. It's deceptive and it impacts the church. It impacts people's thinking. God had a system that he put in place at creation, for example, and he gave the earth to man. He said, plow it, plant it, harvest it. Later on, kill the animals and eat them. Cut timber, use it, mine metals. That's what he said. He said, it's your stewardship. And basically said, don't worry about it because the world will disappear before the resources are gone. Okay, it will. Deception of all kinds, see, designed to attack Christianity and get people to do something other than what the Scripture really directs. See, these things are subtle sometimes, but they're very important. All these challenges coming at the church. Okay, how about social media? So you think TikTok, owned by the communist Chinese, they say it's a Chinese company. I guarantee you any company in China is controlled by the Communist Party of China. Guaranteed. You think TikTok then has the best interest of America's young people in mind and the establishment of a Christian biblical base for a constitutional republic. You think that's the agenda that is behind TikTok? See, the deception, massive scale. And Christians got to be aware of it, and they got to make an analysis of it, and they got to think in terms of, okay, I got to quit participating if I am, and I got to try to help my family to understand why they shouldn't participate. These guys are very skillful propagandists. Propaganda used to be a good term. It would be like used to propagate the gospel or something like that. But see, over the years, the meaning has switched to propaganda. Is something that you have in motion as a means of manipulating the public. See, and so tremendous propaganda. So let me ask this question. The CBS network, do they engage in propaganda? NBC, ABC, Fox, AP, that's print. Okay, hardly anything's left in print anymore. But okay, it's all propaganda. See, and it's a unified propaganda. You know, Fox runs a little bit over here, but if you pay attention, you know, they get you kind of shoved over here if you're not careful. Especially when they fire guys like Tucker Carlson and stuff like that. That's your signal. You know, anything that might point people in somewhat the right direction, they're gone. Even though they're the most popular show, it's not. At some point, it's not about profit. It's about the revolution. It's about the revolution. Those things go on. How about the metaverse? You know, the virtual reality. I don't think Meta is making the big impact that they wanted it to, but. When you start pushing the idea of an alternative universe, so to speak, that you control, it's like putting everybody inside the matrix, isn't it? And so, brethren, these are things that we have to pay attention to because they impact us, they impact our families, and they impact the people that we're working with. The only way to counter propaganda is to counter it with knowledge and truth. And sometimes it takes a lot of research to do that. There's other types of propaganda out there. Basically, we live in a world just totally filled with lies. You know, one of the books that I have in my library about the old Soviet Union was entitled The Empire of Lies. Because everything's a lie. And the people that live there know it. Okay, we're being lied to again. What can we do about it? Nothing. Try to survive, right? So in a couple of weeks, God willing, I'll be going to the Colorado River and floating down the Grand Canyon. They said it's 188 miles on about a 6.5-day trip, and a lot of white water. They said quite a number of 10 out of 10 rapids. Now, I don't know what that means, but some of the pictures show water going over the guys on the rafts. And they did recommend that you wear, on certain sections, you wear rain type of gear that all you can see is your face. Okay, so I get the idea. Because they said, you don't have to, but would you like to have a comfortable trip? I think that's the way they put it. It's sponsored by the Institute for Creation Research, which, they're pretty good on a lot of their geology and stuff. And so I'm going to get a geological and history tour of the Grand Canyon. You know, something called the Great Unconformity was first discovered in the Grand Canyon. So looking forward to that. But the primary reason that I'm going is Dr. Timothy Cleary, that's going to be the tour guide, the geology lecturer, wrote the book Carved in Stone. And I've read through that book about 2.5 times, and I've been working really hard the past several years to be somewhat conversant in geology. Dr. Cleary, how many of you got that that book, Carved in Stone. I know a number of you, you got it, and it's a great resource. You're gonna do your homework though if you're gonna read through it. Dr. Cleary was at one point a petroleum geologist, and he's skilled in reading the core drillings, and he knows how to go to the websites and stuff that the oil industry have where they voluntarily, put all their core, you have access to like 30,000 core drillings or whatever. So he can look at those core drillings and start to see the patterns of rocks in all the continents. See, and that's what he's working on. And so he's going to be the geology lecturer. Now, in his book, Carved in Stone, he repeatedly, every single chapter, talks about your faith in Jesus Christ and how you need to make Jesus Christ your Savior. And, he knows that eternity rests in the balance. He knows that much. And so what they're trying to do, they say, look, at you evolutionary guys here, you've got a paradigm. And so when you look at some rocks, you slap them into the slot where they fit in your paradigm. But is your paradigm, is the box that your information is that box correct? See, and they're trying to get these guys, look at your box. Look at your box. The way you're trying to slot these rocks in don't fit. They don't fit. See, Grand Canyon's a great example of that. You got 230 miles of Grand Canyon, and you take something like the Red Wall limestone, which is kind of the most famous rock right in the middle of the Grand Canyon. It's a solid line, 230 miles. No erosion marks. Now, we all came up the road, and come up out of the gate, right? Was there any increased erosion between last year and this year? Yeah, there is erosion. What does erosion do? It carves channels and does that. So we got 230 miles of red wall limestone. It's a flat line, basically, with no erosion marks in it. And the next layer up sits right on top of it. And it sits on top of the Muav limestone. No erosion marks. Flat line. What's that tell you? That came in rapidly. You guys' paradigm here that you're trying to slot these rocks in doesn't fit. It doesn't explain what we see. And Cleary has a great line. He says, the rocks don't lie. The rocks don't lie. So I need you guys to pray for me because I'm going to be working on some paradigm shifts. Okay? So these guys all got the paradigm that you're saved by, quote, faith alone, right? So I'm going to try to introduce it intelligently, if I can do that, and say, we're really interested in checking our paradigms, aren't we? I mean, we really want to examine our core paradigms. I mean, that's the honest thing to do. And they're going to say, yeah, that's the honest thing to do. Well, how about the paradigm that you're saved by faith alone? Have you checked that out? Have you gone? Because, I can show you some things, just like those flat lines don't fit the evolutionary paradigm. I can show you where salvation by faith alone doesn't fit. See, and one thing I can tell you is just like the rocks don't lie, the Bible doesn't lie. That's why I'm going. That's the ultimate reason that I'm going, is because there'll be about 20 people on the trip, plus two guides, the Western Rivers outfitters, the guys running the boats, and it's good that they know what they're doing. They told me last year, the water was low, so on those big rapids, they actually had to run the boats back, the rafts backwards, so that they could use the motors to lift them up. So obviously some skilled guys running those rafts, right? That's their job. And then the other two guys are the guys from the Institute for Creation Research. So I'm hoping, and by the grace of God, praying that I can talk to Dr. Cleary in a sensible way, the other guy, and any of the other people in that party. Now, I'll probably make my moves near the end of the trip because I would like to run the whole canyon. Keep my coat on. So, but the paradigms. See, the Roman Catholic paradigm. You know, the Orthodox paradigm, the Pentecostal paradigm. See, these guys all have paradigms, and they believe in them because of deception. They believe in them because of the deception of wickedness. The deception of wickedness. And no one's going to follow. You know, he's got the solution. What's at stake? See, I have to be conscious that the people I'm on those rafts in, that heaven and hell are the bottom line factors. If they don't get out of the lying paradigm, see, they're going to spend an eternity in the fires of hell. See, now I'm not going to back away from that, and I'm not going to back off from that, and I'm not going to try to make excuses for that. The Bible says that this eternal punishment is going to come upon two groups of people. Number one, those who do not know God, and number two, those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture is emphatic. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his might. They will pay. See, so I'm conscious. I would appreciate it if, you know, I did happen to fall off of that raft along the way, that they would, pull aside a little bit downstream and let me catch up. You know, that they would, I appreciate it if they would engage in a little physical rescue. I would hope they would appreciate it if I'd engage in a little spiritual rescue. So pray for me. It's all about paradigms. It's all about deception. The battle is truth and lies, light and dark, and eternity in hell or an eternity in heaven. So, thanks, guys. God bless. And I'll turn it over to Kevin. Come on down, Kevin.